mouth to bring sight to the blind man and sound to the dead child. We will survive in this country wilderness. Swimming through the waters above and down like a rebel fish. Struggleist, specialist, predatory and survivalist. Spitting heaven's fire from his lips. Burn a slave driver.
Welcome, listeners, to Time for an Awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." But we as a people can turn this around. Proverbs 4:7 states wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get an understanding. Again, welcome to the program this evening with your hosts, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforanawakening.com, which is the home page, and catch the live stream from that location. You can go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Again, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening, and catch the live stream there also. You can go to ourradionetwork.com. Again, that's ourradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. That's in the Black Belt, and catch the live stream there. Or you can download TuneIn to any of your handheld devices. TuneIn is a free app, and in that TuneIn search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening. You'll see the icon, and you can stream the program live, even into your car if you have the Bluetooth capabilities or the auxiliary connection. Again, that's timeforanawakening.com with the live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. That's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. And that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you always see interesting content being posted daily. And before you leave that page, just hit that like button. That's Time for an Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook. And Time for Awakening Media is there also. Always full of the latest podcasts of the various programs on Time for Awakening and interesting articles that you can download, read at later times, or even share with your friends. So again, make that one of your favorites. Put that in your address bar. That's timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. Tonight, we're scheduled to have a special guest join us. He's been here before. In fact, the founders of the social network has been here before. Brother Kwajo Lewis will be joining us to talk about Bibi Toomey, some of the latest new features. We're going to refamiliarize the Time for Awakening audience with Bibi Toomey, just in case you might have forgotten or you might be an active member on the Bibi Toomey CASA. We're going to talk about it with Kwajo Lewis. Some of the new latest features, and some of the things Time for Awakening will be eventually doing on the Bibi Toomey. We'll get started with our guests and the program after we come back after a brief word from our sponsors.
Mr. Moderator, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies. Everybody is here.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Not a Wu-Tanger. All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening. With your host, Brother Elliot. Sundays, 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. And before we get started with our program this evening, I want to welcome in my co-host, Philadelphia activist and tour guide at the African American Museum here in Philadelphia. Brother Richard is with us. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir, Brother Elliot.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. I've been kind of busy today. Running down the information of our history and perspectives of just what we're about. And, you know, the thing is, that's been draining for me, Elliot, is this the constant back and forth about this election to get out the vote. You know, seeing it everywhere and hearing the statements of why we should and shouldn't, and it just seems that it should be more to what it is, what we are talking about in this time besides just we need to vote.
Yeah, I I was going to put together, and in fact, I'm going to do it within the next week or two, some collage of voices dealing with that exact topic. Before we get to our special guests and some of the subject that we're going to talk about this evening, you were at a meeting today with one of our panelists on that we had for the political forum, Omar Wally, over there at the Afrocentricity International.
Oh, and now that was inspiring. He didn't say so when I asked, because Afrocentricity International, they have the first and third Sunday of the month. They have a kind of discussion gathering for people who are interested. They bring out topics and you have discussion. In the last few months, I've been able to go, and they're younger. So I've been really able to engage. And it was this evening, or this afternoon, what I was inspired by. And the reason why I say we need to maybe have some influence on it, because the question was, 80 years from now, what is it that we would like to see African people have in place? And it was just interesting to hear the assemblage of people at different points of view. And Ellie, you might be very excited about this. It was a 16-year-old female, and we were all stunned by her response. Stunned in a good way, because she had a clear understanding of what she perceived is that end supposed to look like as African people. And that was one of the things that I can remember, is a clear sense of ourselves. And I would have to add what I took away from her, a clear sense that victory is ensured. Now, I thought that, the way she put it out there in the discussion was really interesting.
Who was she? Who did she come there with?
Well, it was her and I believe her aunt.
To get her name or whatever from her aunt.
Ellie, only when I was coming back to the house that I thought, I said, now Ellie is going to tell me why didn't I get her, and I'm gonna see if I can if they can supply her information.
Yeah, maybe Omar Wally might. Omar Wally might know.
Yes.
Good. That'd be good.
Yeah, but that discussion was, because I think we need to think, and that was his intent by putting it out there, what the end game is. And it brought up a lot of things. Even some believe in that we won't win.
Certainly. You know, yeah, certainly there's that belief out there.
Yeah. So that was, and I think that only reason why I say we, because last week, in dealing with the question about, well, who was the opposition, and having Professor Carlton Jones, I apologize to him. I'm always, some things I go a blank. Documentary, Independence Day Project.
African Independence,
Which is the question that he raises, what does that end game look like? And I just think that we don't raise that question, we don't have that discussion often enough to clarify and he added, Brother Omar Wally said, well, therefore, well, what is it that we have to do now to get there? But we don't have that discussion often enough, for my taste, because from a military perspective, that's strategic intent, strategic vision, and that moves to what kind of strategies we need to be putting in place and what kind of tactical moves. And that's in all areas of activity.
Oh,
but
certainly.
If we're just reacting, it doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. You know, and it's kind of good that these discussions are, and they've always been, but I see more and more of these discussions happening because, just as we talk Friday, and we always talk about these things on the program, that white folks, when they deal with us, the Europeans, they're always playing chess, two or three moves ahead. Mm-hmm. When the Million Man March was organized and over 2 million people showed up down in Washington, D.C., that came from black radio, the generation of all of those people. It didn't come from black television because you didn't have any television. And the ones that was on television wasn't encouraging the people to go to any Million Man March. That came from black radio and some conscious DJs that were playing music. So Europeans get together after they seen what that entailed and what came out of that, where over 2 million people was down there, wasn't there any foolishness, and things were starting to be accomplished. They said, well, we got to cut the legs out from anything dealing with this. So they had that Telecommunications Act of 94, which the Clintons mm-hmm. pushed. That cut the legs out of black radio, black terrestrial radio, and especially a lot of the talk programs that were conscious that was on the air, and led to what you see now, a lot of giggling and laughing in the mornings with the Steve Harveys and the Joiners and their wannabes, which is a bunch of them, out there with jokes and satires and Amos and Andy and foolishness 6 days a week. The only day they get a break is on Sunday, and you got religious programs during those time slots a lot of times. So they made sure that they try to cut the legs out from any of these type of things coming down the path. But our people are always inventive and moving on to the next thing. With the advent of social media, there are other voices now where we can get messages. Black Talk Radio Network emerged.
Right.
Time for Awakening, teaming up with Black Talk Radio Network after we left terrestrial radio. So it's a lot, and there's other programs out there. It's not a competition.
Yes, with Brother Kojo coming on talking about a BB2 Akasa.
Exactly.
Digital.
A social media network. Brother Scotty started the BTR community. Brother Obadeli Cambon, along with Brother Kwajo Lewis, started a BB to me, which is the largest, I would say the largest social media, black social media network in the world that spans the continent, the diaspora, and the United States, with over 800,000 members and growing. And we want to talk about some of that right now, some of the new things that have been added, because I don't think we've talked about it since Dr. Cambon was on.
But right.
It's good that right. We have Brother Kwajo Lewis joining us this evening. Brother Kwajo.
Yeah, good evening, brother.
Hey, how you doing now?
How are you, sir?
Good, Brother Richard. What's going on, brother?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I was listening to your conversation, and I'm sitting here shaking my head about, you know, just the conversation you're having in terms of having platforms where we can discuss our issues in our platforms under our rules to benefit us. And I'm sitting here shaking my head like, exactly, this is you know, why it's important shows like yours, Brother L.A., Brother Richard, where you guys are consistent. I think another thing too is consistency in delivering the powerful messages that you guys do. So I'm very honored to be on tonight.
Listen, I want to thank you for your work and what you're doing, because it's very important. I mean, I see some of the things that because you keep my inbox loaded with a lot of the things that you're doing, the online classes. I want you to talk about all of that tonight to let our mm-hmm. listening audience know, if they're not familiar, how they can get familiar with a BB Toomey. But talk about the genesis of it, because I know if you're looking at the apex or the initiant of it, Dr. Obadeli Cambon was the initiant, but you're the administrator. Talk about what made you men put this together and be consistent, like you just talked about us. What you're doing is on another level.
Yes.
But just talk about what you're doing and what made you get started and how you became consistent and not only doing it, but building upon it.
Right. So in short, Dr. Obadeli Cambon, how he would tell the story is that one time he was sitting in his parents' bookstore. I'm pretty sure people are familiar with his parents, Dr. Kamau Cambone and Dr. Mawia Cambone. They had a bookstore, Blacknificent Books, down in North Carolina. And the conversation, we were talking about, you know, all the right things, about Black liberation, you know, Black self-reliance, but we were doing it in Eurasian's language. You know, and Dr. Cambone, being his background is in linguistics, so he raised a question similar to what Marcus Garvey raised back when he said, you know, where is the Black man's army? Where is the Black man this? So Dr. Cambone raised the question is, why are we talking about, every time we talk about liberation or our issues, we talk about it in a Eurasian language. So the genesis of a Bibi Tumi Kasa, how it was called back in the day, was that we need to be able to speak about our issues, our concerns, our liberation in an African language. So that was the initial thrust for the Bibi Tumi Kasa, where it started out as an online language learning tool where you can learn various African languages, Twi, which is spoken mainly in Ghana, Yoruba, Kiswahili, Wolof, Ewe. We have Metometra courses where you can learn you know, various African languages. So the thrust was for us not only to talk about liberation, but to, one, do it on a site that's owned and maintained by Africans and speaking an African language. So that was the initial thrust and the reason behind that Bibi Tumi Kasa. Over the years, we expanded it to have a forum. Eventually, there was a forum added to it where, once again, I think, Brother Rich, you mentioned about the human activities. We expanded the forum to include culture, economics, education, entertainment, health, law, labor, politics, religion, anything that impacts Africans' human activity. We want to have a place where we can talk about those issues on our platforms, managed, controlled, and member-ran by us. So that kind of grew, you know, the focus. We still had the language, but then we had the forums. Fast forward up until actually January of this year, we expanded it even further to include another section of the website where it's more of a social media stream that people are probably familiar with from other platforms. So we expanded it to have, now we have a mobile app where you can chat, you can do video, voice calls. We have a native mobile app where you can do, you know, posting, sharing videos, sharing statuses, uploading pictures, the whole nine yards. So the whole thrust and the whole philosophy behind it is to do for self, by us, for us, with us, talk about our issues in our languages and grow, you know, and build relationships with people who are doing work like yourself. And actually I'm also connected to Afrocentricity International, yeah. The brother Omawale as well.
Oh, okay. Brother Kwajo, because I see here some of the new features. You talk about the mobile app, the online classes, which are, you know, I don't think, well, maybe the Time for Awakening listening audience might be a little different than others, but I don't think that some of our people grasp the necessity, especially for our children, to develop a use of another language. Some of the people feel as though speaking Spanish is necessary for our children, and that might be here. But when you talk about the millions of our people of African descent that speak traditional African languages, talk about the necessity to, and I'm saying that because I was looking at an article that Julius Malema of South Africa talked about the adoption of Kiswahili as a common African language because so many of the folks on the continent do speak it along with several others.
Sure.
Talk about the numbers of our people that speak these dialects that you just, or these languages that you just talked about, and what you feel or how you feel about our children learning these languages.
So there's two or three points. So the first one, in relation to our children learning the languages, I think the most important thing in that is that, you know, when you know, you may mention the Spanish and French, you know, we all grew up in this, probably the courses that were offered to us in terms of those languages. But what we realized is that when you learn another people's language, you also, the culture of that people is also embedded in their language.
Oh,
their history
yes.
is embedded in that language.
Yes.
Their sense of self is embedded in their language. So when you have all those things and you're actually learning another person's culture, another person's language, another person's history, where they honor and respect their ancestors for doing the work that they did, you find yourself, like Dr. Amos Wilson used to say, with an alien culture. So we think it's very important that, you know, we learn our languages, because here again, that ties us back to our common ancestry, which is Africa. And it gives us a sense, especially our children, it gives them a sense of knowing who they are, a sense of self-pride, and a sense of culture and a sense of connection to a landmass called Africa. Dr. Clark used to always say, you know, language is tied to a culture, and culture and religion is a deification of one's culture. So all these things we see is very, very, very key to our children, especially learning the African language. Now, most people will say, you know, you guys don't know where you came from. But our thing on Abibi Tumi is that all of Africa belongs to all Africans everywhere. You know, Marcus Garvey said Africa for the Africans at home and abroad. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is that you made mention of the King Swahili as being the language. Now, what you'll probably hear most people say is that, you know, there's no way we can speak one language. But here again, it's a matter of intentionality, right? Because we have no problem saying we speak English. So we rather, you know, put forth a Eurasian language as opposed to adapting any other African language as the language, you know, the primary language. So in that, it's a vision, right? We talk about vision for Africa in terms of being United States Africa. So it's an opportunity to, like you said, it's probably the most widely spoken language in terms of cross the illegal borders that were put in place in the Berlin Conference. So in terms of that, in terms of nation building going forward, I think it's very key to at least identify an African language that might suit that need. It might not be Kiswahili. It might be another language. There's some push for, Metunecha and all kinds of languages. But at the very least, there needs to be an African perspective on approaching any language that might suit that need.
And if I may interject, Brother Quadro, the thing that I like in relationship to the language and the site, you know, in one of the rooms is deep thought, and how, and Brother and Dr. Cambone, you know, and I notice in the dialogue, say just dealing with the what do they call it? Not parables,
proverbs,
that by speaking those languages, and he brings it out often, the philosophy that is tied to that is African philosophy that was developed over time. And here is a forum where we can interact. You know, that's, I think that that's so powerful. And in our languages, in those African languages, whether we belong, whether we know we're connected or not, how they reemphasize that deep thought that we developed over, even if we use their time frame, hundreds of thousands of years of how to come into social relationship with ourselves and the environment and things that we cannot see. I think that that's the platform, the language, and the ability to use the platform to learn and interact with each other. I'm noticing it's a powerful catalyst if African people utilize and recognize that we need deep thought.
Absolutely. And one of the things to piggyback on that, Brother Richard, is that, you know, we talk about names. We had Dr. Ama Manzama from the Afrocentricity International on, and she talked about African names as the first act of agency, of African agency. So just in our children understanding the power of the names, like for example, my name is Kwajo. It means born on a Monday. But beyond that, it also has meaning in terms of understanding to connecting to the cosmos. So it has a cosmological connection as well as, you know, a cultural connection. So, yeah, so we offer the online classes, right, for people. They can go online, sign up, and do one-on-one classes using a video interaction. They get a PDF file and an embedded MP3 file, and they can follow along. And you have people from the diaspora in your class. So you might have someone at one time from London. You might have a sister from Jamaica. So it's truly a Pan-African approach towards learning an African language. And we do talk about the culture. We talk about the cultural baggage that comes with certain terms and certain philosophies, and how the African language kind of addresses that in terms of how we address elders, just day-to-day things that our children really, really can benefit from learning in terms of the language and the culture itself.
Brother Kwadwo, just from the, now how old is a Bibi Tumi?
So a Bibi Tumi Kasa is about approximately 12 years old.
Okay,
12
now.
Years old. I might be shortchanging that, and I'm pretty sure Dr. Cambone will correct me. But I think at the very least we're 12 years old, and through the evolution of the site, like you said, we're still building.
Now, just from your perspective, how has this dialogue or the vehicle of this way that people can dialogue? Have you had any gauge on how this is really expanding the minds of some of our people? Because here at the fore, a lot of folks don't get to the only perspective that we hear. In fact, you don't really hear a perspective of young people coming off the continent at all coming here. We get a perspective on what's going on the continent from the television and from CNN or other white-run news organizations. They don't really talk about some of the things going on the ground, things that have really affected grassroots, unless it's negative. Talk about the advent of people utilizing this site on the continent and in the diaspora that have brought enlightenment to everybody. Because you see the dialogue and you've been back and forth. Talk about it from that perspective.
I think I appreciate that question. That's a great question. I think one of the things you realize right away on this platform is that, you typically hear the typical stereotypes that, Africans, think this thing, and African Americans think this thing. And what we see is that it's really a lack of education on both sides. And what we're able to do is really, talk to people who have an inclination to listening and dialogue with people to learn about each other. And what you find is that, like you said, those experiences that we hear from the people in Ghana and from the people in the diaspora, it really, really has, it's a level playing field to kind of explore without the negative connotations and negative media and really get to the core of what's really, really, really going on. For example, oftentimes you might see people on the site who are interested in repatriating. So we get a chance to have people who actually have repatriated that are on the site that can give firsthand experience, firsthand knowledge, firsthand support for people who want to go there on the ground. So it's an on the ground thing where, because there's an extension to a bbtumi.com called Sankofa Journey, where they take a group of people from the diaspora to Ghana, and they get to see, the cultural things that you might not hear about. They go to the real parts of Ghana and get that education. So what I've seen on the platform is really, really gave a chance for people to get, like you said, firsthand experience from somebody who's from the diaspora, who went to Africa, or just somebody who's in Africa that wants to learn about the real deal in the United States. So without all the negative media and the miseducation, diseducation, we're able to get to the real core communication. And it really opens up collaboration and sharing and growth on both sides.
Brother Kwadwo, is that because when I look at the Black Worldview statement and also the origin, is that because it is an educational platform that that could occur?
So it's very intentional that we kind of branded the site to be a social education network, because we didn't want to create just another black white site, if you understand what I mean. We didn't want to create a site where, okay, now we just want black people, but we want to still have the same intentionalities, the same core ideology, the same intentions, the same mission and goal. We wanted to create a site where the focus is on being social, but social with a purpose and social with intent. And that intent is education.
Okay.
Because I think with education on both sides and in the diaspora, with proper education, we're able to break down some of those stereotypes, break down some of those miscommunications, and really begin to make an impact in terms of that pan-African ideology and cooperation amongst our people worldwide.
The use of the site as far as a tool of education, the online classes, things of that nature, are they being utilized? Who is the main folks utilizing these sites, or it seems to be a balance between the number of indigenous people on the continent using it, the number of people here in the U.S. Utilizing these classes, or in the diaspora in the islands of South America, or do you notice it's kind of a balance all the way around?
I would say that primarily it is people in the diaspora, and I think part of the reason in understanding is that because, you know, in the diaspora, our experience here as being Africans in this country is that we really don't have this sense of, you know, I belong to this particular group, and that's the language I want to learn, and that's it kind of thing. Whereas we tend to have this thing where we kind of embrace any language on the African continent, whether it be Yoruba, whether it be Tri, whether it be Kiswahili. So I tend to see a trend where most people in the diaspora are more geared towards learning any African language. And for whatever reason, right? Some people want to learn because they want to do business. Some people want to learn in the diaspora because they have goals on repatriation. Or some people are first generation Africans born here. Maybe their parents are from the continent, and they want to reacclimate, you know, reacclimate themselves with their mother tongue, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But we do have a large contingency of people on the continent that are learning their language, kind of relearning it again, in terms of, you know, just proper pronunciation. And Brother Richard mentioned the proverbs, so it's more of a, believe it or not, it's more of a cultural thing. And learning the language in a proper way. Dr. Cambone actually teaches Twi to Ghanaians at the University of Ghana. So he's actually teaching the ins and outs of the Twi language to people from Africa at a university in Africa.
And I hope you don't mind me expressing this, because Dr. Cambone is hardcore. But one thing that I noticed as he's teaching, because he can speak it so fluently and technically and with so much clarity, that the Ghanaians, when you know, for those who will go to the site and those who've been on the site, you'll see he's really, you know, here's people who grew up with the language around them, but they don't speak it as effectively, and they'll say it. Mm. How well he's able to, he's mastered the language, and not just being able to communicate, but the meanings within the statements and expand on them. And he's hardcore about it, in the sense of that we should be doing that. It shouldn't be a second thing. You know, Eurasian language shouldn't be something that we use. And I really appreciate that, even though I can.
Yeah, I think it's I think it speaks to, you know, people like yourselves, the intentionality of having these platforms is just that, to, you know, to take it to the next level, you know, pick up the mantle where it was left off for us. You know, we had the Garveys, we had the Martin Delaney's, we had those true hardcore Pan-Africans. Now, you know, where we're at in this time and space as Africans, we have to leverage the tools that we have for us. And one of the goals is to, you know, to raise the bar and push it forward. So, one of the things primarily is the language. The language is the key. The language, in my opinion, is the very key to breaking down a lot of barriers, understanding cultural, you know, historical, you know, references and points of references for us. So I think it's definitely the key. And I remember, you know, my parents and my family's from North Philly, over on Hollywood Street, over in we grew up on Logan. And I remember back in the day, everybody was speaking Swahili. You know, everybody was speaking Swahili. So there was a time where that language was very, very powerful. And you can see that in that learning the language and understanding that culture, you see behaviors changed. You can see a direct correlation between learning this information, internalizing the information, and then having it impact your actions and your intentions and your outcomes. So we're really focused on, like you said, speaking to the children, is trying to really change and guide them in a way where their actions will speak to what they're learning. Because we see today that, you know, what they're learning actually what they're learning today is really, you know, a result of what they're learning. Like Dr. Amos Wilson said, that, you know, our kids are learning what they're doing, because they learn what they learn.
Right.
So we're trying to change that paradigm for our kids in the future.
You know, I really think it, and you mentioned Dr. Amma Mazama doing some work on the site. Mm-hmm. She was on the program, and it's been a while ago when she was on, and she talked about the need for our people to hold or to have things that are sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about language expressing things that have become or should be sacred to Black people. Mm-hmm. And she utilized the use of other people's culture and religion to dictate what Black people hold sacred. And she made it so plain that, mm-hmm. you know, us being here in the U.S., with Europeans that came from England, most of them, and different European countries, that the stuff they hold sacred as far as going to Europe, the Vatican and Italy, all of these stuff in Britain, the so-called royal family, those things white folks hold sacred. And Black folks seem to gravitate unconsciously to that type of behavior and thinking because they think that somehow that type of stuff is special. Folks that believe in Jewish religion, they gravitate to things in Jerusalem like those things are sacred, not knowing that maybe the people that initiated those things weren't European at all. I might be Muslim, and in my mind, because other folks hold Mecca and other, as sacred places, then me being African is subconsciously holding those places as sacred. See, and she was trying to explain how language and the understanding of things of our people and culture, then we would start holding other things sacred that we probably have no knowledge of.
Mm.
And I thought that kind of ties in with what you're talking about as far as knowing languages. You know, we see some of our people here that come here from the continent. And whatever stereotypes and feelings we have towards people that come from the continent, one thing you know for sure, and maybe our people don't, some people don't even sit down and think about it. I don't care who you have coming from the continent here. They generally know at least two languages, sometimes four, five, and six, but they know more than English. The majority of Black folks, myself included, knows one language, English. So a lot of folks have a leg up on us already. Richard, I just discovered, and I mean, I knew he knew a lot of languages, but I didn't know he knew so many. Paul Robeson knew over 40 languages.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the man was a true scholar and somebody to look up to.
That was another, and you know, on that, and the sacred part, and Brother Kojo, the point, because I noticed another activity that I see is widely used is the spirituality that, and what I like about it is the idea that traditional cultural spirituality is being explored and defined and taken out of mysticism. I see that a lot of people are, you know, contributing to that dialogue on the site.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think all that goes hand in hand, right? Because, you know, Africans, we don't separate one aspect of life from a different aspect of life. It's all, you know, culture. So one of the things we actually have coming up, which I'm pretty excited about, is we're in the talks right now to have actually a workshop on spirituality where people can sign up and get on there and learn, you know, learn firsthand from someone who has the knowledge of the spirituality in terms of, it's primarily for a con spirituality. But if you're interested in that, they can sign up for the course that's coming up. And it's going to be probably an 8-week course where they can learn just the different aspects of it. We actually had an interview on the site by probably one of the most brilliant African minds today in terms of this topic, Dr. Chukwunyari Kamalu. He has a book called Person, Divinity, and Nature. Right. We did a two-part interview with him on the site, and he really went into just what is African spirituality, how do we discern from Eurasian intervention, and he talked about how it's related to, you know, most times they say, well, you Africans are, you know, you're different. You guys do Yoruba, you guys do this. But he really brought home the point is that it's all one underlying theme in cosmology. And then, you know, and just the differences of it doesn't make us, you know, distinctly different than each other. So a lot of the information is being, distributed on the site. And what I'm finding is that there are a lot of people that's really, really seeking that first step information and be able to ask those type of questions in a platform where, you know, it's that kind of platform where it's geared towards learning and teaching in that kind of environment. So you're absolutely right. A lot of that is coming. And, you know, we're really excited about what's been happening with some of the people on the site, just growing in the knowledge and taking it to one step further. We actually have a study group as well. We meet every Sunday in a study group, and we go over different topics as it relates to African spirituality. We're studying a book right now by Nana Fukiao called Self-Healing Power and Therapy. So a lot of the audience might be familiar with those works as well.
So, go ahead, Richard.
Me only just to because I think it's important for, as you say, the language, the spirituality, for us to understand as we educate ourselves. That is tied to our politics, you know, not to look at our government management system, a social management system is tied to the language, the spirituality, because that's how we organize ourselves around those things. I just wanted to
there's a quote I want to interject in the terms of Brother Elliot. You were speaking about just the fact that we don't really speak a lot of languages and what we can kind of do. So there's a quote that you probably heard Dr. Cambone speaking. It's by Brother Baba Renoka Rashidi, and it goes, "What you do for yourself depends on what you think of yourself. What you think of yourself depends on what you know of yourself, and what you know of yourself depends on what you have been told." So those three things.
Yeah, that's really it. That's him.
We can unpackage that. Uh-huh. We can unpackage that. We can see the outcome of, you know, what our kids have been told. It directly relates to what they do. So we're trying to give a different narrative, a different paradigm. And another thing too is we're trying to actually live what we say. I think it's very key that oftentimes you go to a lot of lectures and, you know, you do this, you do that, and then we're right back into, we don't see the action. So we're trying to really encourage people to, with the information they're learning, to kind of put it into action to the extent they can. We understand that there's challenges being here in the United States that you might not be able to do, but so we really encourage those kind of actions.
You know, I just want some of our listeners to understand that when we see, if you're watching the television and you see a commercial comes on about the University of Phoenix or things of that nature, mm-hmm. where somebody at home that maybe don't have time or they're scheduled to go to a university, they can take these online classes. And then afterwards, the people get a degree or whatever. But when you're talking about a black social network where, as Brother Kwadjo said, you can have spirituality classes, classes on economics, history, business, philosophy, nation building, and other subjects, where you can have college professors talking and teaching these classes where they can be interactive and you can log into a site. I mean, that's powerful. That's something that clearly that you were talking about, Richard. Those are plans for the future that have nothing to do with us being here. If this nation falls tomorrow, then these things that are being discussed that Brother Kwadjo is involved in is something that you need moving forward.
Yeah, and like you said, it's something, you know, to your earlier point when you guys were first discussing about, you know, you had the question was, what do you want to do in 80 years? And you spoke about the 16-year-old child. That's just hearing that, Brother Richard, is very encouraging because that's the goal, right? You know, other cultures build for the future.
Exactly.
For the future generation. So what we're trying to do is just that. We're building for the future, you know, and hopefully that, you know, by the time we've made our transition, we at least left the next generation with some kind of a baton to hand off. Not, you know, we don't want to be in the same place as our parents were, our grandparents were. We should be striving towards, you know, that relay race where we're handing off the baton to let them, give them the tools and the platforms and the vision and the education to take it forward.
And that's, you know, as y'all were saying that, I was, and I have to, maybe I shouldn't, but I'm always apologizing because I'm active, you know, I never, it's recently, I just got into this thing on Facebook, but and it's even more recent. Matter of fact, since I've been on Time for Awakening, that I became aware of a BB Tune. And, and in becoming aware of it, I'm like, as much as I can, immersed. And it is a difference. It is a learning process. But the point that I was thinking of is in one of the online classes with Brother Chwese, is that that deals with Pan-Africanism, and understanding what it is to be Pan-African, being what Pan-Africanism really is. I thought that was and is a powerful for those who consider themselves political, a powerful understanding of what we're trying to do, touching on what both of you are saying, and what we're trying to envision. And I, you know, I like to say strategically envision, because people don't think that we're in a military campaign and that we are thinking for the future. You know, that is just happenstance, that we have to create a vision and we are passing it on. But, you know, these concepts are being constantly developed. They're not just back in the 50s or back in the 60s or back with Martin Delaney or even with Garvey, that the understanding of what we're trying to do is constant. And on a platform, that educational process gives us the opportunity to sharpen our skills, our understanding, our conceptual understanding, historical understanding. So, it's again appreciative, and I'm passionate in relationship to trying to get the listening audience to understand the reason why they should search out this site and engage it, and then even realize how much some of the stuff that they may bring from other platforms they can't bring there because it don't fit.
What you'll find in the platform is that, you know, some of the other stuff, like you said, I appreciate that, Brother Richard. So what you'll find is that we've hoped that we created a platform and an environment where such that stuff like that will automatically weed itself out. It's very rare you'll find any kind of senseless type communication going on, talking about things that really don't have a place in serious conversations when we're talking about African liberation, whatever. So it kind of, the community kind of, you know, filters itself quite naturally in that point. And I believe you're talking about the course with Nana Chinwezu.
Yes.
That he had on Pan-Africanism. Actually, it's tomorrow we have a live conference on Chinwezu from the 4th to the 7th in Ghana. There's a conference going on starting tomorrow in Ghana, which Chinwezu is going to be a part of, Dr. Cambone, among other scholars. It's a 4-3-day conference going on.
Oh.
And we're looking to possibly have that on available on the site. I'll make mention of that on the site if that happens.
Great.
We're in conversation with Kwajo Lewis, who is the administrator of BB2MeCasa.com. I don't think it's a BB2Me.com. And it's a site where you can not only share videos and things of that nature with the new link that you've added, but online classes, which covers, which spans the gamut of our experience here on African spirituality, on economics, on history, business, philosophy, nation building, where different college professors from the continent and from here are on the site giving online classes. You'll see live online sessions where you can be a part of it. These things don't happen in other venues. And to be honest, they're not supposed to happen in other venues.
Right.
This is something that we're doing. It's totally black run
right.
and black operated. Let me spell that for folks that might not be aware of the spelling. That's a BB to me. That's abibitumi.com. That's a BB to me. That's AB.
Right. And that's a that's a tree word from Ghana. It actually translates to black power.
Mm. We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Well, wait a minute. Before we go to break, Brother Kwadjo, you go back and forth to the continent a lot. You've been in Ghana quite a bit. You see some of the changes happening on the continent, whether you're talking about West Africa, whether you're talking about East Africa and Kenya and other areas, and definitely whether you're talking about Southern Africa. You see the changes happening. You see other people there. Trying to be in the forefront of these changes. But you see changes happening rapidly to the minds of our young people. How are you gauging this? How are you? Because, you know, we get another perspective here. And especially, I always, whatever stories come across some of these news sites, CNN, MSNBC, whatever, you always got to look behind the story. And especially when you're dealing with the minds of Europeans. But when you see these things happening on the continent and you hear the pulse of the young people there, give me your feelings on what's happening.
I think you
understand my question.
Yeah, I definitely understand your question.
Good.
So a point of clarification, I haven't been to Ghana yet.
Okay.
So a lot of the information I have is from people who are actually on the ground that we communicate through the platform. And here again, here's another benefit of the platform itself, is that we're able to reach out to somebody in those countries where, you know, CNN or whoever might have a story, but we're able to reach out to the people directly and communicate directly to find out the real story, what's going on from an African-centered perspective. We're able to get the real information. So my sense of what's going on is that social media has really become a tool, right? Because Dr. Kamau Kambon will say that, we're not at war. War is being waged against us. Mm-hmm. Because if we really knew we were at war, we would be acting accordingly. So in saying that, we see this as a tool to use. Now, the reason why a BB2Me and platforms like yours is very important, because that tool has to be used in a way that's going to be beneficial for our people. So I get the sense that social media has really, really opened up an opportunity to bring this information to a person real time in South Africa or West Africa or East Africa, because now they have exposure to real information that's going out there. So it's kind of like, we have to use it as a tool. So, you know, that's part of our mission, part of our goal. And this is another reason why the language is very important, so that we have to communicate, with no illegal cultural borders created by the Berlin Conference. We have to break down those barriers. And that is happening as well.
We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Brother Kwadjo Lewis, the administrator of abibitumi.com. You can join the conversation, too, by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. Time for Awakening. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening.
Time for an Awakening.
With host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
I transformed a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one of the tangible transformations I've created for entrepreneurs in various industries around the country. If this isn't what you think of when you think of accounting and business consulting, then get ready to take down this invaluable information. Are you an entrepreneur suffering with a stagnating company? Have headache customers, staff, or vendors? Are you rebounding from a loss and need help achieving your unrealized potential? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? Hi, my name is Nataki Kanban. If you're ready to go beyond advising and coaching and get results, then call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions recommend and implement the best comprehensive sales, administrative, human resources, accounting, and operations to help you grow into your vision for yourself and your company. Again, from anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072 or pull us up on your device right now and book your free consultation at www.newbusinesssolutions.com. And just mention you heard this special announcement on Time for an Awakening.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
For 12 years, I and others like me have held out radiant promises of progress. I had preached to them about my dream. I had lectured to them about the not too distant day when they would have freedom all here now. Amen. I had urged them to have faith in America and in white society. Their hopes had soared. They were now booing me because they felt that we were unable to deliver on our promises. They were booing because we had urged them to have faith in people who had too often proved to be unfaithful. They were now hostile because they were watching the dream that they had so readily accepted turn into a frustrating nightmare. And so the collision course is set.
The desegregation decisions and other type of legislation and Supreme Court decisions depends upon changing the white man's mind. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that our own mind has to be changed. We have to change our mind about ourselves.
In what way?
Well, so he teaches us the importance of moral reformation, a knowledge of self. And for instance, the average so-called Negro, he doesn't think that he can go into business and provide jobs for himself. And because of this, he thinks that he can only get a job from the white man, or he can only get clothes from the white man, or he can only get food from the white man. And we who follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad are taught that the same thing that the white man has done for himself and his kind, if our people could be wrecked, if we could be cured of our slave mentality that was indoctrinated into us during slavery, we would realize that just as the white man can do these things for himself and his kind, we can get together in unity and harmony and do the same thing for ourselves and our kind.
I'm not wondering at all about them. I'm concerned with the suffering and the pain of the masses of black people. No one wants to pay reparations. The Jews received over $100 billion in reparations and gets $4 billion annually. A Holocaust museum was set up for them on this soil for over $200 million, and they get $21 million annually just for operating expenses. But the Catholic Church, the Pope, the Jews, the Arabs, white people in general, no one wants to pay reparations to these, the sons and daughters of Africa. So I speak to them. I don't speak to the family of those two Jews. There are too many of us for me to speak to them.
And one of the reasons why I'm always happy to come to this organization, because you're the only one, you're the only black organization, again, that understands to put race first. Race first. Race first. And I've had some white folks to tell me that I was a flaming militant, a radical, or whatever all of these names were that they called me. And I said that I am very pleased that you called me a nationalist, because you could have said that I was a member of the NAACP or the Urban League. So I said, I'm very pleased of the names that you have given. But I said that because we put race first, something is wrong with us. But everybody else puts their own first, because God bless the child who has his own. And so I think that race first is very important. And though we meet in a different venue, we're not at the slave theater, we're not at the church, we're now at the Masonic Temple. It really does not matter where we are physically. It matters where we are in our minds. And wherever we meet, as long as we know that we're Africans and as long as we know that we are black people living here in America, we know exactly who we are. You notice you can put an Uncle Tom in any venue in the White House. You can even put him in his. He's going to still be a Tom. You can put him anywhere you want. Well, it's the same thing with us who are strong people. Wherever we are, we're going to be the people that we need to be.
Encourage, let me just say this before our time winds up. And that is, I want the people in the audience to go back and look at the video clip from Roots. It's entitled something like Breaking Kunta Kinte. That scene opens with Lorne Greene sitting in, who's the plantation master, sitting in his office, and then Fiddler comes in and says, we don't want to be too hard on the runaway. Kunta Kinte has just run away and been caught. And so the time comes for him to get his lashing. And if you look at this scene, it's about 9 minutes, and study the scene. Study the role of everybody or bodies that are in this particular clip. And you will find that there is an equivalent role in the political life of our country today, whether it's on the national level or on the local level. There's the black man who actually does the whipping of Kunta Kinte. There's the white man who does the whipping. There's the black man who intervenes with the boss man and tries to save the life of Kunta Kinte. There's Kunta himself, who eventually is forced to admit that his name is Toby. And there's dozens of bystanders, black, who are watching. This is a very powerful scene. And And it's an analogy of exactly what is happening in our community today. Let's give those characters names in our community and call them what they are and then take care of business about that.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening, and we're in conversation tonight with Kwajo Lewis, who is the administrator of OBB2Me.com, which is the largest African-American and black-run social media network in the world, which boasts over 8,000 members and growing with online classes, also social media network. We can share information, share articles, share videos, and also an online component with online classes that range from African spirituality to economics to history to business to philosophy to nation building and et cetera. The administrator of the site is with us this evening, Brother Kwajo Lewis. Brother Kwajo, we got a couple calls here. We'll go to a couple of them, bring them in. 404, are you there? 404. Let's put them back on hold. Let's go to 225. 225?
Actually, I'm just listening, so I don't have any questions at this point.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll come back to you a little later. Thank you for being a listener, sir. Let's go to 215. 215. 215. They might have stepped away also. Let's continue the conversation. Brother Kwajo. Let's talk about the new component that has been added as far as the online video feature similar to a popular one that a lot of our people utilize. Talk about sure. That new feature that's been added to OBB.
Sure, appreciate that. So we've added on OBB2Me. So there's two things, right? So on OBB2Me.com, we have the ability now to do live streaming of lectures, classes, interviews, you know, just general people want to go and just say you're going to an event like the one we attended in Philly, the LOC conference. Say you want to stream live from there, you have the ability to log on and stream live. That's one component that we've added to the site, and it's working out pretty well, where we invite scholars to come on and teach courses, and we actually give them a dedicated classroom to their course. We had Baba Bonacci Montgomery out of Detroit, who came on and teaches the Meadow Netcher with the Greeks called hieroglyphics. So he teaches an intro course, and he uses the online streaming chat room to teach his students. And then throughout the week, the students have the ability to use that very same classroom to do virtual study groups where they're, you know, doing additional readings, doing their homework together. So by the time they come back to class the next week, they've already had some collaboration. So they, we find it very effective in that nature. One of the things we actually launched midway through this year is a separate component from OBB2Me.com. It's called OBB2Me.TV.
Okay.
And what this is it's a video sharing platform similar to I like to call it Google, YouTube, but it's YouTube. Yeah, we got some terms, but we call it YouTube. So what we're trying to do, and the goal is, like we talked about intentionality, we're trying to move away from every single aspect of human activity as possible, where we can control our own destiny. If it's not there, let's build it. If we can't build it, let's find somebody to build it, or let's collaborate to do it. So we have a OBB2Me TV where you can go in there and post your videos, comment, have friends, and the whole nine yards. Same kind of philosophy.
You know, and I'm glad that you mentioned what you said in regards to YouTube. But
gave us a new tool now, and I can see it running now.
You know, when some of our people utilize these networks, they act like these things, like, you know, it comes from like manna from heaven. Like, yeah, these things are just a creation of a man's mind. So we could do the same things that other people do. In fact, a lot of these technologies have been created by people that look like us, but they have been utilized because of money and the advent of people being able to back these ideas. They have taken off. But these technologies we have, and we can do the same thing. I mean, you're doing it. So hopefully a lot of our listeners tonight can go to bbtoomey.com and see what we're talking about, or see the online classes that they can get involved in for a relatively cheap price. It's not like they're going to some of these online classes for Phoenix and all, which might be thousands of dollars. Some of the understanding and classes that are being run by other professors in different parts of the continent here. You just mentioned that there's professors here that are on the site. So I hope they, you know, take advantage of some of these things that we're talking about this evening.
Right. And I think it's very, important too as well to kind of give these professors a platform, right, to kind of express, you know, their research and their background too. Because we find, you know, as you probably know, a lot of times that some of our brightest and youngest professors get tied up in these universities. And then they're really strangled in terms of what they can present in terms of curriculum, quote unquote, education. You know, Dr. Clark, you speak about it all the time. So what we try to do is give these young Pan-African warrior scholars a platform where they can come and teach the way they want to teach, unfiltered, from an African perspective. And we find it very beneficial to allow them to do that and kind of build a support group amongst scholars, right? Because, you know, quite frankly, quite honestly, you know, to speak that is, you know, you run the risk. So we kind of give them the confidence to go do that and give them that kind of moral support behind them to let them do that. And we kind of build the platform to let them use it the way they want to use it to their best ability for the liberation of the minds of the people.
You know, it's something that I always use an eye, and I'm always fighting about using eye. But it's, you know, what the platform provides is us the ability, you know, in what you just said, to create an economy around our education, our self-knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, and I hope people understand what that means when we say economy, because those professors, they have invested in research and being able to, that medium of exchange of intellectual information, we call it intellectual information, but just the exchange of that resource of the time they invested and us being a consumer, which is really cultivating a resource, right? A natural resource. Mm-hmm. African people cultivating ourselves, adding value. This is an economy. I mean, you know, finding a natural resource, develop manufacturing, and at the end, it has more value and a different purpose than when it started.
Absolutely.
Ability, which is difficult to do on the ground, what they call brick and mortar, you know, the challenge because of the capitalist system. So here in the digital world, we can truly build an African economy. And it has expansive potential, global potentials as far as Africa is concerned, when you're mentioning, you know, not only just that area, but other areas too.
Well, one of the visions we have for that economy that you're talking about, Brother Richard, is to create that pool of resources where our scholars have, you know, the real true scholar, Pan-African scholars, have this pool of resources where they can continue to do the field research because, you know, it takes time and sacrifice to go out here and do this research. So we want to have a position where we can pull our resources and keep that monetary income to build this this resource for these scholars to go do the work that they want to do. That's one of the visions we have, to kind of build this African-centered resource pool where we can fund some of these researchers that are going on. We have a brother, Tony Browder, down in D.C. doing some work. We had the brother, Professor Manu Ampem, out in California doing some field study work. So these kind of professors, one of the goals I have, you know, personally for the site, is to kind of build this research fund. And it's a realistic dream. It's a realistic vision to have, to build this fund where we can fund our own research, no strings attached, to go do the real work.
And another thing I seen on the site, look, I'm an advocate. So if y'all, if the listening audience and you, brother Kojo, keep hearing me, I'm kind of being a cheerleader over here, because in my lifetime, you know, we used to have bookstores we used to go to. Mm-hmm. Then it was for a while there was magazines we used to be able to pick up. And then for a while was lectures we were able to go to. These things dried up. So for us who fed ourselves, you know, based off of engaging in that, I mean, not just the communal activity, but the information, you know, when they dried up, and Ella, you talked about even the radio as a platform. These places dried up. Where this information, we didn't have no place to go. And that's why, you know, when I seen it, it becomes so, I was so excited about it, and hope others recognize the value, because we're also, it's not, you know, building an economy, building the political machinery. Here you can, where we can pull our dollars, because I seen artwork being, artwork meaning documentaries on the platform being addressing subjects that directors say that they couldn't present in other formats.
Right, absolutely. We had a, the brother that you're speaking about, his name is Onuari. He's actually a member of the site. He's a, he's an award-winning producer. He has a documentary called Mona. And, you know, he filmed it around the world, different kind of film festivals. But he intentionally went to Ghana, and we did a screening in Ghana. He said, because this is the platform, this is what he made, this is the audience that he's trying to reach. So it turns out that screening, we had such a great success for that screening that we had to actually add a day. So they had standing room only out in the hallway for this screening for his movie. So the people, you know, Brother Elliot, you spoke earlier about, you know, what's the sense on the continent in terms of the youth and the people on the continent. So this is a, this was one of the testaments to that, that need for this information to come out. So it was a great response from the people in Ghana. So we're looking to do more things like that, right? And the goal is to have a platform where a person like this has a medium where he can reach the people he want to reach. So this is one of the goals. Yeah, we got a lot of exciting programs coming up. So I encourage people to, at least if they're interested, we have a newsletter that when you first go to the website, there'll be a pop-up. You can put your email in there and you can stay, you know, stay attuned to what's going on. We send out, you know, we, monthly or whatever, every time we have an event going on, we send it out.
Let's try this line again. Let's go to 404. 404.
Hey, Brother Elliot, how you doing, man?
How are you, sir?
All right. Hey, the other 404, man, that ain't my number, man. That's what be confusing you. I noticed that. You said 404, and whoever, you remember my number, man. 404-453.
Okay, bro. How you doing?
Hey, my brother, I had y'all app on my other phone that I had got lost like 2 years ago. So that's A-B-I-B-I. And can you spell the rest of it?
Sure. It's A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.
T-U what now?
T-U-M-I.
Okay, M-I.
.com. So if you go to Google, if you go to Google Play, and the App Store and iTunes, you'll see, you just type in ABB to me, you'll see the apps available for download.
Yeah, that's how I did before, man, when I had it on my other phone like 2 years ago, but that phone got lost. But I appreciate it, man. Good show,
appreciate
Elliot,
you, bro.
Man. And I don't want to hold you up. I hope you understand what I'm saying, Elliot, because another caller from New York said I'd be mumbling, but it's all good. I love my folk, man.
Oh, I don't pay, I don't pay no attention to all that.
Yeah, man. Hey, Ellie, I love y'all, man. And I'm going to be calling y'all, man. I know we ain't talking about this election thing, but we talk about it maybe Friday or whatever, man.
That sounds good.
Hey, Richard, stay strong, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Peace and blessings.
Peace.
Blacktastic. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, Brother Kwajo, I was just talking to Richard off air. Because we're getting ready to do some things to revamp timeforawakening.com and add some more functionalities to it. We got a brother that's, in fact, he's doing a project in Ghana. Brother Donnie Bradford, if he's out there, he might give us a call. He's also a what do you call it, Richard?
Web developer.
And he's going to do some things in regards to Time for Awakening, kind of change it around, add some more functionalities, and we'll be able to do some things, hopefully on a BB, where we can stream the program. Now, the streaming capabilities you have, similar to what Sister Nataki and Brother Talib does, where they stream both audio and video. We've always streamed just video, so I'm quite sure that that's probably a simple process, I would think.
Yeah. So we have the ability to also stream the video and audio. Mm-hmm. You can have someone kind of in the background moderate, you know, the background noise in terms of muting people. People on the phone can actually raise their hand if they have a question. You have the ability to chat with them. They can ask questions via chat. On the side, you can actually see those questions come through in the chat box. Mm-hmm. You can send files back and forth. You can send links. Like if you're talking about a link and it comes to your mind, you have the ability to type that link in the chat itself, and people have access to that chat. So, and then we also record it. It's also recorded and archived, which I think is very, and I know you guys do that. Mm-hmm. So we also have the ability to archive it. It's available right after the show is over. It kind of renders itself. And we can kind of, you know, put the customize it to fit, you know, whatever platform it is, and have that available for the people.
Go ahead.
Both of y'all have to help me. Excuse me. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, y'all have to help me with this because I don't know if it's appropriate for now. Elliot, you had spoke earlier about, you know, how after the Million Man March, you know, what these what do they call the financial finance people, what they did in trying to buy up the terrestrial radio stations in order, and primarily the black stations, the talk radio stations, came under one umbrella. Do y'all think we have to have that in our mind? How do we protect or defend our digital footprint as this here growth and development? Because, you know, the uniqueness is, you know, especially where you're centered at, and the way I hear Brother Dr. Cambone is, I mean, the realization of Pan-Africanism and being able to provide an actual the dialogue necessary to kind of say, put in play what Dr. Diop manifest in his Global Africa Economic Manifesto. The digital platform provides that opportunity to do that. You cross barriers, use language, understand cultural continuity, and have it in historic. More and more we're seeing how our historical reality is from different countries and people are tied to commit. I appreciate that. But shouldn't we also have to think about how do we protect our digital space in this as we develop this?
Well, short answer is yes. So, yeah, I think, you know, with the understanding that, you know, war is being waged against us. So we understand that in a war, there's some things that you have to protect. So some part of the reason why we do some of the things in the background, we can definitely, you know, talk about that. But some of the things we do in the background is geared towards that kind of awareness that, hey, you know, we need to protect this intellectual property in terms of the information that's being disseminated. So that's part of the reason why we want to move away from, I think, you know, Brother Elliot spoke about, you know, people take for granted that these platforms that we're on now will always be around for us. Mm-hmm. But the understanding is that we need to move towards, you know, having our own, as Garvey would want it, having your own platforms, having your own control, management, direction, vision, say, all those things go in hand. But at the same time, like you said, protecting them is very key too, because, you know, we learn from history, right? We saw the Black Wall Streets, we saw Durham, we saw Tulsa, we saw, you know, examples of what happens when we're not in a position to protect what we grew.
So yeah, we're definitely focused on doing some of those things behind the scenes.
And I say that you know, for us to, you know, and as you say, behind the scenes or up front, but also for the listening audience, because for those who find that these, even for Black Talk Radio, but you know, or for Time for Awakening Media, or you know, Heidi's platform, it's us. It's this becomes, you know, the politics that we're supposed to be involved in. And yeah, on us to be the defense mechanism and demonstrate that in our, you know, in our activity. We just can't say we like it and we used it and we are using it. We have to actually be engaged in it as a part of our military, because all of us are speaking about a vision that speaks beyond our years. This becomes the platform, speaking about an economy, you know, servicing young people and information, servicing professors in relationship to being able to continue to do more work, artists being able to develop more. But it's our responsibility. So the reason why I bring that up is for the listening audience, as I know they will go to the site and increase the numbers and enjoy and develop, continue to develop them African self. That is not a passive, entertaining platform. It requires us to be politically engaged. Because net neutrality is around the corner. I believe that we'll have something like that.
Yeah, it's definitely not. Like I said in the beginning, we intentionally did not want to create a black white site where some of the same things that you might be used to on another platform, it's understood that that's going to be over here. That's not the intent of the site. That's not the nature of the site. It's not going to be that way where you're logging on and then you see, you know, countless and countless and countless of just senseless posts that you're sifting through. It's very intentional. It's very intentional posts, very engaging posts. And I would like to say the quality of the posts are excellent. But it's like you said, it really has to be an active engagement on each person's part, because everybody's coming to the site for different reasons. Some people are coming to learn about a certain topic. Some people are coming to learn to maybe talk about a product they might have, or some people just want to come on the site just to talk to like minds. So what you bring to the table is what's going to be manifest in the site itself. And then quite naturally, the more people we have on it, we will get to the point where you're logging on, you're seeing activity streaming down the site. But bigger than that, like you said, Brother Richard, we're really focusing on beyond the activity on the site. What are the actions that's being manifest on the ground in our lives, in our communities, in our nation?
And also one of the ways, Richard, to protect what we're doing is to work together.
Yes.
When Time for Awakening left terrestrial radio, and we were the suggestion came was presented to me about streaming, it was two online streaming sites that were black owned that were out there at the time: Empowerment, which was Dave Anderson, and Scotty Reed, the Black Talk Radio Network. And we went with Scotty and became a member of the Black Talk Radio Network. But Empowerment, you know, they were out there. You know, we need to work together, because I don't know what happened to Empowerment now. I don't know whether they're off the air. I know they lost some of their people that they were using, Bev Smith and others, kind of dropped out or dropped off the site. Or, I mean, Bev Smith was getting a little up there in age anyway, but I mean, that doesn't mean she couldn't broadcast. But I'm just saying it was people involved in that that media site that it seemed to have went by the wayside. I hope I'm wrong. But, you know, that's the way we protect these things, is working together. I'm talking now with Brother Kwajo about, you know, when we formulate the new online presence of Time for Awakening, that some of these other sites can tie right into it. That's how we protect it, by us working together. It's too many of us out there, and especially on that that site that you mentioned a minute ago, Brother Kwajo, that people are out here for different reasons. You got some blacks that do good programs on that site, but they're out there for self-aggrandizement, They want to parlay this to get to other areas and media. They might not be out for the upliftment and empowerment of our community. Those things don't mean anything to, you know, that type of thing doesn't mean anything to me in regards to that. What we do on Time for Awakening, we do for the benefit of our people. That's why we bring people on from all areas of the country and outside the country that's doing something to empower our people and encourage definitely, other people to do the same.
Definitely. We totally, wholeheartedly, blacktastically support that statement, Brother Elliot, that we definitely have to work together and pull our resources, pull what we do best. Whatever that is you do best, bring that to the table for the benefit of the people, and then we'll all benefit as a people.
Yes, that's definitely definitely what we're all of us. You can hear all of us working towards that, and then we can actually continue the project. You know, that's been going on for hundreds of years in relationship to this liberation of African people. You know, so. I definitely am, I don't know if people hear it, but I'm definitely honored to be able to, have the moment to learn from BB Tune.
Brother Quadro, before you leave, wait a minute, we got a call that jumped on, and we'll bring him on. He might want to hold on to after the break. Let's go to 646. 646?
Yeah, I'm just listening. Something happened with your tune in, Elliot.
I'll hold you over. Okay.
All right.
Brother Quadro, before we let you go this evening, give out any information. Let everybody know how they can catch everything. Go to all the media presences that you have. Give out all the addresses. The floor is yours.
Sure. Sure. So, first, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to come on. It's always a pleasure. I am an active listener of your site as well, and I think it goes to the point you made about, we all have to be engaged with each other to help each other where we're at, and we'll all go forward. So bbtumi.com is the main site. That's ABIBITUMI.com. And you can go there. You'll see at the top of the screen where it says register. You can register to become a member. Sign up for the site. You'll have access to our social media side. You'll be involved in a lot of our classrooms we offer in terms of languages, a lot of lectures. And we also have a shop. I forgot to mention, we also have a shop that's tied to the site where we actually provide lectures. The lectures that Dr. Kamal Cambone, other scholars, we actually provide those lectures as Black exclusive lectures available to our people. We also have a bbtumi.tv. It's a video sharing platform. We have other sites as well, Sankofa Journey, if you're interested in going to Ghana. So all that information is on the site. You can see our list of family sites at the bottom of our homepage. And we welcome all Africans to come and join and engage with other Africans. And looking forward to seeing you.
Brother Quadro, I want to thank you for your work, man, and we'll be in touch.
Yeah, I get to see Brother Quadro here and there, so for somebody that as busy as he is, I don't know how he gets to get around this place and that place. But I really appreciate the book.
No problem. I appreciate you, brothers, man. Thank you for having me on. I'll be before ODA.
We'll talk soon, brother.
Take care now.
We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, I guess for the minutes that we have left, we'll go into a little open forum. We got a caller holding on till after the break. We'll be right back. You can tune in by dialing, and you can be involved in the conversation, I'm sorry, by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We'll be right back.
are listening to Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening. With host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
I think you'll find, sir, that there will come a time when black people wake up and become intellectually independent enough to think for themselves, as other humans are intellectually independent enough to think for themselves. Then the black man will think like a black man, and he will feel for other black people. And this new thinking and feeling will cause black people to stick together. And then at that point, you'll have a situation where when you attack one black man, you are attacking all black men. And this type of black thinking will cause all black people to stick together. And this type of thinking also will bring an end to the brutality inflicted upon black people by white people. And it is the only thing that will bring an end to it. No federal court, state court, or city court will bring an end to it. It's something that the black man has to bring an end to himself.
You preachers and leaders, you administrators, you teachers, you leaders, you are the worst. No cowardly, punctified leader will lead this new generation of young black men and women. Your day of leading them is finished. You can't feel it? When you talk to young people, you can't feel that you're missing them? Parents, you can't feel when you're talking to your children that this is a new generation and they don't want to hear your compromising talk? Did you hear them in Ferguson tell Jesse, get the hell out of here? Yeah. You ain't no leader. I was hurting for my brother because Jesse worked hard for our people. But time has moved on. And what was good yesterday? Hey,
ain't no good at all today. So either you become a new vessel so that new wine can be poured into the old wineskin, or your day of leading our people is over and it will never come back to you again. Damn it, we're still in the land of our bondage. We're still in the land of captivity. We're still a slave to the Democratic Party. Still a slave to the Republican Party. You can't even see a Freedom Party. You don't see it. You're a slave. I'm a slave. And unless we admit that we are slaves, then we can never get free. Never get free.
Put the present Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years, and all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last, because you're a chump. A political chump.
Down so you could see that the government of America has been planning our demise. Any members of Congress here, any members of the civil rights movement that are here, you love this nation. You've suffered every indignity to make America better, that she might be great. And every time you forced her to make a law that was in our favor, they came right behind that law with skill and chicanery to make the law of no effect.
When it came to treating the citizens of African descent fairly, America failed. She put them in chains. The government put them on slave quarters, put them on auction blocks, put them in cotton fields, put them in inferior schools, put them in substandard housing, put them in scientific experiments, put them in the lowest paying jobs, put them outside the equal protection of the law, kept them out of their racist bastions of higher education and lock them into positions of hopelessness and helplessness. The government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America. That's in the Bible for killing innocent people. God damn America for treating her citizens as less than human. God damn America, as long as she tries to act like she is God and she is supreme.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening, and I want to thank Brother Kwajo Lewis that was with us, the administrator of bbtoomey.com, to share with the listening audience some of the new things that they'll be doing, the new features that have been added, and you can become one of that 800,000 of our people that have joined that network worldwide, and keep building upon it, Richard.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you see, I'm excited about it.
You know, before we brought Brother Kwajo on, you were talking about your frustration about about this upcoming dog and pony show that they get ready to have.
Steve Elliott. You know, I don't know. I put myself out there on. I'm trying not to say it, but Brother Kojo that gave me an expression. I like the way it sounds, so I won't say it. I'll just leave that alone. But about, you know, how I don't participate, in the voting, and I have a criteria. And what I find is that, and I've had this for more than 30 years of, to have a criteria for me to feel that we are actually pushing for power by using the ballot and voting. To me, if we don't collectively create an agenda, we don't create a mechanism of enforcement for the candidate that we put in place, and we don't actually develop the candidate, and then it just seems like we're just waiting for somebody to do right by us. And it just doesn't, that I don't come out of that orientation about that. But to hear the cliche, you must vote, and, you know, people die for you voting. I respect people who feel and do and cast their ballot, you know, or vote for their candidate. And I do appreciate the benefit based off of them doing that. But when I ask, is there an agenda, looking at Philadelphia, say Black Philadelphia, Black people in general, I don't get any response. Or what is the agenda that you, in selecting the candidate that you're, you know, selected, what's the agenda that you gave them? I don't get any response. And it just frustrates me if I'm like, Am I the brother from another planet?
No, because there is no agenda, and you're right. You know, and I mentioned to you before, if we go over a few minutes, you're all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
If we, and I mentioned to you before, I was putting together a collage of some voices dealing with just what you were talking about. I want to play two of them for you. And it deals directly with what you're talking about. One by Dr. Claude Anderson, if I can pull it up, because I didn't even label them. And another one by Charles Byron. And I've been meaning to get Brother Byron on the program, because Cam Howard gave me his contact information, and I just haven't done it as of yet. But let me see if I can pull... if I can, I don't know. Let me see.
Ain't no outside. All of you are inside. All of you are paying taxes to capitalism, well, I think. So you wouldn't be sitting here. And all of us are inside this monster. All of us are inside this belly of this beast. But for us to try to maintain intellectual and philosophical and ideological purity, we claim we don't want to get involved in electoral politics, because I can't do that, but I don't know where your bank account is. I don't know what company you work for. I don't know what system you're working in, whether it's education system, where your employment is, but you can rest assured we are walking contradictions. Each and every one of us are dealing with capitalism on one level or another. So why not electoral politics? Why not getting some of us involved to get up in there and maintain and present a radical edge in electoral politics? When I was running, they said, Charles, if you want to get elected, you better not go out there talking all of that black stuff. If you want to get elected, you better put yourself on a shirt and tie, take off that old 1960s suit, and you better change your conversation if you want to get elected. I said, well, I'm not going to do that, and I'm going to get elected. And then when I was talking to some of my colleagues after I did get elected, and they said, well, Charles, if you want to get anything, you better tone down that black radical stuff of the 60s, because you're not going to get anything for your neighborhood. They will punish you. They will isolate you. And you will not be able to get anything for your neighborhood. I said, well, not only am I not going to tone it down, I'm going to tone it up. I'm going to say even more stuff. And I did just that, spoke my mind. I don't salute the flag. I think Gifford Miller purposely had us pledge an allegiance. They didn't do that until I came in. That was one of his ways of, he said, he calls me in his office, Charles, it's not directed at you, but we're going to now start pledging allegiance in the city council. I said, Gifford, y'all go right ahead. Enjoy your pledge, because I will not be standing up for that. And they said, why not, Charles? I want to know.
Well, you know what? I made a mistake and cut that off a little premature, Richard. But now that was Barron talking about himself and the reason why he thinks it's necessary that we get involved. But you see the way he's talking about getting involved.
Exactly.
Now, let me play this, because I'm going to put this collage together. Hopefully I'll have it by next week. I think this is the one with
I did a study in 1960. At that 1960, we had approximately 103 black elected officials in the entire United States. I did a social discomfort indicator study to find out what the conditions were of black folk were in 1960. I looked at the unemployment rate, the dysfunctional schools, dysfunctional family, joblessness, unemployment, income, everything, median family income. Then I waited 30 years until 1990 and did the exact same study to see what had happened. Why? Because in 1990, 30 years later, black folks' number of representatives in elected office had gone up over 9,000%. I said, black folks have gone from 103 elected officials to 9,000. Boy, we must be doing well in the country. I did the same exact study, discomfort indicator study. And found out that not only didn't black folks progress, guess what? They went backwards. They went backwards because there's no connection between putting a black person in office and getting benefits. None of them are going to do it. As soon as a black person gets elected to office, the first thing you're going to do is violate the sworn oath he just took. He'd swear it over and say, I'm sworn to get in office to represent those people who elected me to office and serve them. As soon as a black person gets to office, the first thing I say is that I'm here to take care of everybody.
Now, you heard Dr. Claude Anderson, and you heard Charles Barron when he said that he was told by his colleagues, and you know he was talking about black colleagues, because white colleagues wouldn't say that to him, about you can't get in there talking this black stuff. You can't do that. Take off those clothes from the 60s and change your language, change your, he said he's not going to do that. So that shows you what the problem is and the mindset of those who get to those seats and get to those positions. You don't even get to that position unless you're willing to, I don't want to say sacrifice yourself, because some of them might have that mindset where it's not even a sacrifice. That's what they want to do. I mean, you had Stevens then. You got a, and I'm using that character from that movie, Steven. You got Steven now. But I just use that as an example of what you're talking about. Because
it was frustrating. It's just that it sounds so, a lot of it is cliche, because as you know, that clip shows with Dr. Glider, I mean, what we tried to do and did making the review 50 years later.
Mm-hmm.
When we make the analysis, then we have to either hold ourselves accountable for the people that we put in, because people are clear of saying the reason why we're not getting there is because structural control by whites or the system of white supremacy. Everybody on all sides are clear of that. I mean, they enunciate that as the barrier. You know, why gentrification, why the schools are in the conditioning, why the jobs, why the people in prison. Well, you put the people in place to create policy to eradicate that.
And if
they don't do that, then it's either something wrong with the person or something wrong with you. And I don't know if I'm, you know, my math might be mixed up. But then they say, you're just supposed to stand in line. I mean, and I got that. You know, I got it. You're supposed to just stand in line and do it. But when I'm asking for, well, why things ain't changed? I want you, you've been doing it longer than me, why it hasn't changed? And I just don't,
Malcolm said it best when he said we have been political chumps when he was dealing with politics. You know, people taking your vote, but they have no intention on doing anything for you. That's just like if back in the day when a guy used to go to school and his parents used to give him lunch money to buy his lunch or whatever, and you had the school bully, they had taken your lunch money. I mean, you come to school every day with money, but you never get to eat no lunch because they're taking your money. So, I mean, they're taking our votes. They're getting the votes. Black people are voting for them, and they use black people as a strategic vote, as a block. Because when they vote, black people vote almost 100% for one of those candidates, and usually it's a Democrat. So they can almost put that in the bank. But you don't get nothing for the vote. Besides just feeling good, that cliche, your ancestors died for the right, and don't come up to me with that, because I'm not going to minimize the sacrifice of our ancestors talking about they died for a right to vote. Our ancestors wanted freedom. They had a bigger picture in what they wanted, and it was freedom for our people, because they had been free at one time. They weren't always enslaved. And if they wanted specific things, they thought it was a tool towards their ultimate goal. They wasn't just voting to be voting. But these people here are voting to be voting, and they feeling good, but it ain't getting them nowhere. It's like you said, like we used before. You're on a treadmill, your feet is moving, you're sweating, but you ain't going nowhere. Let's grab one of these before we get out of here. Let's go to 646. 646?
Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, a fabulous show tonight. A fabulous show tonight, man. The type of show that he done every week. My brother Richard, how are you? Did you rest for the daddy tomorrow?
No, yeah. The struggle continues.
All right. So you'll be in there bright eye and bushy tail, right?
Nodding.
Okay. Hey, listen, this is going to be a serious, serious, serious week for African people. Come Wednesday, there is a strong possibility that the rate of suicide in our community may increase.
You think so?
Yeah, man. you know, to listen to the Negro and to watch the Negro and to see how the Negro is behaving at this present time in regards to Tuesday's election, it's really scary. Psychologically, this could be really damaging to our people because we've really invested so much into this possibility of having Negroes win that won't do a damn thing for you once they in office. You understand what I'm saying?
Certainly.
Now, if they lose, then where do you go from there? If they lose because of the white woman vote, what do that do to you? I mean, these are really serious questions that must be asked. If we lose, what's next in store? What are you going to do? How are you going to move forward? Are you satisfied if you lose all of the key black things that you want, but that the Democratic Party gains control of the House? Will you then be satisfied? There's a lot at play, brother. A lot at play. Because remember, the Negroes want back at least the Congress, and they know there's a strong possibility that they won't get the Senate, but they desperately, desperately want those governorships, especially those two magic Negroes, Abrams and Gilliam, or whatever the hell the Negro name is. They really want them bad, because then it'll give them some sort of feeling of worth, one would assume. You know what I mean? But if they're able to get the Congress back, but them two special Negroes and Ben Jealous lose, will they be satisfied and passive in their reaction and their feelings about themselves? But what will happen if they don't get nothing for which they wish for? Oh man, how will they be able to repair themselves? What will they do to recapture who and what they are psychologically? Dangerous. Dangerous questions that are not being asked. You know what I mean? So here it is come Wednesday morning. If things don't play out in the manner in which people wish for them to play out, then what do? Start jumping out the 70th floor window? But nobody wants to address that. Nobody wants to think about those things because this special Negro has given them a feeling of utopia that they could win. Now, let's go to what happens if they do win. What's going to change for the Negro? Anything? I can't see what anything is going to change because no demand has been made of them. No plan is in place to ask them for anything. Nothing is really, if truth will be told, expected of them. So, hey, what happens?
Well, listen, it is a lot expected of him, and it's already plans.
No. Tell me what.
No.
What's expected of him?
And it's already plans in place. Because we talked about who's been funding them and who they already have said that they have allegiance to.
But that don't have nothing to do with me, Elliot.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But you're saying that they don't have any allegiance or plans. They do have allegiance and plans.
No, I'm talking about black folks.
Oh, okay. I agree.
Well, I don't care nothing about the approval.
Okay.
I know they already got their hand in the cookie jar, and they're going to be taking cookies every chance they get. They're going to take care of them. Like I've said months and months in the past, and I will say it to the day, the gay mafia members got more say-so in her cabinet than we'll ever have. The gay mafia got more weight on her shoulders than we'll ever have. She'll never pick on an agenda of authentic or black people over the gay mafia members. And if you think she will, speak to people in Atlanta who know her history. and then tell you how she's rejected black folks before for white folks and gay mafia members.
And I think the thing that's bothersome to me, Jay and Elliot, is that, as you're saying, that even if they had it, we haven't heard it. Like, I'm not, you know, like, it would be good to hear this is what the agenda was, and this is what, and we could be able to see that this agenda would be, would affect black people, even to the point of saying what socioeconomic group of black people this agenda developed by black people would be affected, that a governor could be able to put a policy in place, or that group would put a policy in place that a governor could enact in law that would affect this group of black people. But we can't even hear it.
Why? Because she can't. She can't put us on the front foreburner on anything, bro. She can't do anything. In Atlanta, she like my boy West. She just go do the research.
Now,
hey West, I love you, baby.
Now listen. Here's a question for you before you leave. Here's a question for you. If these white liberals that are backing her, if they're okay, they're liberal, which liberals supposed to mean that they're race neutral, so to speak. They want
to. Let's add they supposedly the biggest myth of them all.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
To be an ally.
But wait a minute. Then how come she can't or he can't say which they intend to do for black people? Because they're backed by liberals, supposedly. These people, that's just a label that they use with one another. These people are the same. I don't care whether they're liberal, leftist, Democrat, Republican. They're the same. They have the same agenda. It's just slight variations, but it's the same agenda.
Elliot, they just a little more compassionate when they beat you with the whip.
Yeah, well.
Instead of giving you 20 lashes, they give you 15.
Okay.
But it's all the same. You know what I mean? It's like the slave master. He give you some chitlins and a little bit of hardball instead of just some hardballs. You know what I mean? And that's all it is, man. The bottom line is, a liberal ain't never been a damn thing to black folk. They just go along and do the bidding of their brethren in a more humane way. But it's all the same objective, to keep his foot on your neck. You know what I mean? And we seem not to understand that. But, you know, my prediction is that they're not going to win. But I'll say this. If they do win, it's going to be real, real interesting how it plays out. Because I think the guy in Georgia, the woman's opponent, is one of the most nastiest dirtbags and thugs in politics I've seen in a long time. Oh, man, he's something else. He's something else. He gangster with it. He's letting it be known that he's going to do whatever in his policy and his position and his authority to make sure that he suppresses as many black votes and so-called progressive votes as he can in Atlanta so that he could steal the election, as one would say. Because I'm going to tell you, if he get the opportunity to steal it, he's stealing it, man. And he's going to get away with it. He's going to get away with it. I don't see how he doesn't get away with it with the position that he's home, because nobody's going to call him into question. And if it goes to the Supreme Court, that's where your boy Kavanaugh is going to come in and do what he's supposed to do at this present time. He's going to be that necessary vote to swing it. And then what's going to happen? You know, everybody's going to be on the uproar for a little while. But black folks in Atlanta ain't going to shut nothing down. It's like a friend of mine was talking to me today, and he was telling me, man, that right now, one of the most powerful people in Atlanta is Tyler Perry.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me that Tyler Perry studio hires more people and creates more jobs than one could ever imagine. He was telling me they got so much stuff going on in that studio that it basically could run 24 hours a day for the next 365 days. That's how big he's done grown that thing, which I think he's been there the last maybe six or 7 years. Gotta take your hat off to the guy. I ain't a fan of his movies, but I gotta take my hat off to him. Because not only is he doing movies, he's doing television. He's working with other studios and everything, man. I take my hat off to the guy. I'm not even gonna lie and say I don't. He's really been able to go to Atlanta and build something really, really nice. You know, and that's the way it should be. You know, now imagine he's the type of person that should be getting certain deals from Stacey Abrams. She's supposed to make sure that his thing grows and grows and get better and better and better. That's why I always say Maynard Jackson, and I guess y'all questioned me Friday night in regards to Marion Barry, but I would say Maynard Jackson was probably the greatest mayor that black folks ever had. I know a lot of people talk about Ken Gibson in Newark, New Jersey, and they also talk about Marion Barry. But if you really, really look at it and you study it, also Tom Bradley out in California, those are the special ones. If I got to really, really look at it and see what was built and what was developed from the time they went into office and left office, I have to say Maynard Jackson did a hell of a job. Because the construction company that he created in Atlanta, I think is still the number one black business in the country, I think. I think it's Russell Construction, if I'm not mistaken. They're still number one as far as black businesses. And that was created through the project with building that airport in Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. But hey, listen, man, all I'm going to say is I'm looking forward to Wednesday morning, man, because I know it's going to be crazy tomorrow and Tuesday, man. I mean, the wall-to-wall coverage, I mean, it's kind of interesting just based on how it done started this weekend and how it's going to move forward. I mean, on 60 Minutes today, they had Beto O'Rourke and Ted Cruz. You know, let me leave you with this. Do it ever amaze you the contradiction of Donald Trump in the behavior and how his continuous lying and his ability to now praise somebody like that dirtbag Ted Cruz, how people just don't see what this man really is, the con man that he is?
Yeah, well, I don't have no opinion on it, dude. I'm listening to you.
But I mean, it really just goes to show you the type of psychopath personality of the white man. I mean, as long as their thing is moving forward and they're getting what they want, they'll flip-flop on anything. That's why it's going to be so, so interesting. The only thing that I'm honestly looking forward to tell you the truth, if the Democrats do take over the Congress, I want to see with the big mouth, yes, I'm saying it, the big mouth, I want to see what Maxine Waters is going to do in regards to his finances. Because from my understanding, she'll be in charge of the committee that will be able to subpoena his tax record. I really want to see what she's going to do, because I'm going to make the strongest prediction I probably ever made on this program, and I may be wrong. I'm going to say that Nancy Pelosi, if she gains the head of the House, she's not going to go after impeachment or anything else in regards to Donald Trump, because I don't care what nobody say. Her and Chuck Schumer are friends and buddies of Donald Trump. I'm saying that right now. And a year from now, I'll be able to say it again. She's not going to do anything, and I guarantee you that if Maxine Waters gained that type of control that she may gain, Nancy Pelosi is going to stop her from doing her thing. And hey, listen, you may need to do a special program this week, Brother Richard and Elliot. You may need to come in maybe Wednesday or Thursday to save the psyche of the Negro, brother.
Okay. We'll see.
Hotep,
talk to you.
Enjoy the rest of your time. And Brother Richard.
Yes, sir.
Do the daddy give you Tuesday off from work?
No.
Oh, okay. You know, because I know the school children, they don't have to go to school on Tuesday in New York.
What's Tuesday?
Because it's election day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they don't have to go to school, you know what I mean? But it's gonna be a beautiful couple of days, man. Hopefully, you know, they'll come into the museum, Richard, you know, on Tuesday and Wednesday with smiles on your face, man. You know? And listen, if you see anybody jumping out of a window, run. Mm. Don't try to save them, please. Yeah, okay. Because you could get swatched, too. Have a good night, brothers.
Talk to you.
Peace. Take care.
Richard, we're coming up to the end of another one. Yeah, so, Jay said a lot of people going to be upset Tuesday, on Wednesday. But, and I heard your sentiment on that, Richard.
Mm. Yeah.
All I want to say is this, and it might get some of the listening audience upset at Time for Awakening, but it's my opinion. And I'll use a parable, a metaphor, whatever. I look at our situation here and similar to a landlord-tenant situation. Usually when you have and especially a slumlord, he don't live in the building where you're at. He lives in another area. But he'll come down there and collect the rent. And he never fixes anything. But you always have in your mind, Mr. Charlie said he's going to fix these pipes. He's going to fix my leaky roof. He's going to fix the cracked cement. And he going to do it this time. He already promised me he going to do it. He going to do it. He going to do it. But you're saying, you know, I got to move out of here because I know he's not going to do it. But then you got a bunch of people that have in their mind that he's eventually going to do it. I just hope that our people start, and some of our people, and I wouldn't say the masses, because I think the masses of our people realize that this is a dog and pony show. But I hope that some of our people that are still stuck on this electoral politics to realize that if we don't do something for ourselves, then it's not going to get done. And we're going to keep having hopes frustrated and keep seeing things go down, spiraling downhill, and especially for future generations, because this system has no need for our young people. They don't project them in their future plans unless it's some type of subservient or position bordering on slavery, like this prison industrial complex or some similar things. So unless we come up with some concrete plans to move our people forward, relying on electoral politics is not going to cut it. It's not. Richard?
Yes, sir.
I want to thank everybody. But before we leave this evening, just want to give that lineup, as always, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, African Perspectives with Brother Oshie, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Time for an Awakening. Later on Monday night from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And later on that evening from 8 to 9, Let's Buy Black 365 Connect with Sister Nataki and Brother Talit. On Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Time for an Awakening. On Wednesday, Sister POC is back with Revive from 8 to 9. From 8 to 10, I'm sorry, on Time for Awakening. And then on Friday, Time for Awakening is back from 8 to 10 on Time for an Awakening. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion, as always, and we'll be back on Friday, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.
All right. Peace.
If you're driving through the country on a lazy afternoon, or you're watching your children playing after school, they seem to be so to take care of. We've got to do something, yeah, to save the children. Such a small part of the things that they'll soon be right at the heart of. My little Tommy, he said he wants to be a fireman.
children to save the children. To save the children.